Come and join the gathering on Equilarium FM for inspired conversation and guidance to lighten and brighten your day. Claire Johnson has gatherings around her kitchen table with a group of interesting and vibrant guests who are professionals from all fields of the healing arts. Real people integrating spirituality into everyday reality. Laughter and joy are two of the main dishes served at her table. And now, here is your host, Claire Johnson, raising vibrations across the nations, inspiring you to become all that you can be.
And welcome to this, the second show of Equilarium FM, our new manifestation. I'm your host, Claire Johnson, and together with my lovely guests, Jill Orsman.
Hi, Claire.
And Josephine Tyrrell.
Hello, Claire. Lovely to be here with you today.
Thank you, darling. We will be raising vibrations across the nations. Today, around my kitchen table, we decided we are, in fact, the real holistic housewives.
We are.
And the global ambassadors for Equilarium. This wonderful new project that we are bringing to manifest on Earth. Around my kitchen table today, there was in fact about 10 of us, a group of really powerful, inspirational women. We had such fun and shared a lot of stories, and a lot of wisdom was held with a lot
beautiful
of
food.
Beautiful food was held.
So, Claire, why don't you just start telling the listeners about Equilarium, because we are building this amazing project from the vehicle of this beautiful station.
Okay, well, Equilarium is the name of a building which I had the vision for about 17 years ago. And it's a very high vibration, holistic healing centre that is a unique type of building that is like a form of acupuncture. There's like architectural acupuncture. So heal the earth as well as the mind, body, spirit of humanity. So it's completely new. It hasn't been here before, and it wanted to come. This was about 17 years ago, and I put lots of storyboards together.
Which we are surrounded by, aren't we? It's so exciting to sit here in this room with all of your original boards around us, which we created, 16 years ago?
Yeah, 16, 17 years
ago.
And they're
just incredible, aren't they? They're just bursting full of colour, absolutely beautiful.
Rich.
And the vibration of them alone is so high. Beautiful.
Well, I put them together as a storyboards and spoke to a friend who said, I think you really should build this. So I was creating them to go to the city to raise money to actually build the centre. And I got the architect on board, who's the UK's leading architect in sacred geometry. And he works a lot with Prince Charles. And he said, if you raise the money for this building, I want to build it, which was a great endorsement. But at the time, I had a small baby. My daughter Florence was only about 6 months old. And it suddenly came to me in the night that if I pushed and built Equilarium then, it would take over my life and I wouldn't be the mum that I wanted to be. So I've got a 2.5-year-old son as well. And I just thought, no, it's not, the time isn't right now. Wind the clock forward and here we are, 2012 arrives, and the whole project has re-emerged in my consciousness. It's come to the fore, and so I've opened the boxes and got back out the boards, and here we are. Now the project is really gaining momentum. It was a bit avant-garde, but as you see, looking at the storyboards, they could have been done today. They're pretty timeless, really. Mm-hmm.
They are absolutely timeless. They're just so beautiful.
And you said that it came out of the box in 2012. And what you now can see is that there's 12 aspects of Equilarium, isn't there?
There are indeed, actually. And I think every week we're going to cover one aspect, aren't we?
Yes.
To help bring this into form.
So in relation to starting a project, I mean, because it's so huge, it is impossible to know where to start, isn't it, with something of this scale?
Well, it is, actually. I mean, when I first got it as an idea, it was going to be in London originally. But from 2012, it's shifted dimension, and it actually wants to be in California. I've been shown by two different guides, actually, a Native American Indian and a South American Indian, this stretch of land against the Pacific coast where the grass rolls down, and there's an energetic point, which is where it's waiting to become. Because if you'd asked me pre-2012, I probably wouldn't have wanted to go to the San Andreas Fault But being true acupuncture, it wants to go exactly where the energetic fault is or where the energetic strong point. It's also to do with the, I don't know this fact, but it's to do with the crystalline grid, which I don't know much about, but obviously the powers that be know where it wants to go. And now it wants to be in America. It wants to be in California. And so we're actually looking for any help from anybody that feels that drawn to help us manifest this project, for guidance, for input on funding or...
Practical help.
Input, if anyone has more of an idea. As the weeks unfold, we'll cover more aspects of it and you'll be able to get a better understanding yourselves of what the project is. But yes, watch out, America. It's coming your way.
And it's going to be great.
And you will know. You'll feel guided to get in touch with us if you feel a real calling. Because that's what this is, isn't it? We're just going to be able to...
Absolutely. It's a sharing, it's a gathering, and we're here to use that collective energy of all like-minded souls that want to see this project brought to fruition, and it's an amazing. So tell us more about the actual concept of Equilarium. What is it actually going to look like? We've got these beautiful storyboards around about us, Claire.
Well, it has... a magnificent dome. A major feature of it is the huge dome, which is has large pieces of crystal inset in the dome so that they're charged with the full moon energy, and so the air and the light in the building are completely infused with crystal energy. So it raises the vibration. Much like we're talking about raising vibrations, it raises the vibrations of the air that you're breathing, the light that you're seeing, and
water.
I don't really want to discuss all about it.
Mm-hmm. No, really.
Because it's such a visual thing. But the main thing is that it's a heart centre. It resonates on...
It's all going to be based on the 528 frequency, the miracle frequency. And so it's set with that beautiful vibration that when you walk through the door, you immediately, your heart feels soothed.
Absolutely. Every aspect of it. So today, around the kitchen table, with this wonderful group of people that we had there, we did a very powerful timeline manifestation to bring this wonderful healing heart centre down to earth.
Mm.
So today's show is all about the heart, it's all about healing, and it's all about...
Love is everything.
Love of everything. This is it. Love is in the air and everywhere. Because, in fact, today we're coming at you live from the south of England, where spring and new life is literally unfolding daily with the glorious golden light of our warm April sunshine. In fact, today it's been a bit mad. We've just had April showers and thunder and hail.
Hailstone.
Yeah. So I'm glad that's clear. Because here in the UK, the four seasons are really wonderful because not only do they mark the passage of time so clearly, but they also teach us an appreciation and gratitude for each of their parts in the full circle of life. Last week, around our kitchen table, we planted the first seeds of Equilarium FM. We planted the first seeds of Equilarium, the project. We actually planted our sunflower seeds of intention, and we encouraged listeners to plant your own so that you can watch your own ideas and dreams come to fruition over the next few weeks. You can see the gentle daily growth.
And it was really a real-life thing we did, wasn't it? Because we created little seeds, sunflower seeds we bought and planted them into compost and gave the girls all one to take them home.
And yours has actually started sprouting, hasn't it?
I don't know anything about seeds. I mean, I became known probably as the world's leading flower photographer. I was good at photographing flowers, but I had nothing to do with... I mean, probably the world's worst gardener ever. But I have planted... I took my seed away... And lo and behold, I looked at it this morning and green shoot has come out. I was so excited.
And you took a photograph result.
I've taken a photograph. I'll put it on our page. But I don't know anything about seeds, how quickly they're supposed to grow. Everybody seems to think that's just coming out in record time.
It is, because not only is it a green shoot, you've got two leaves on it.
Yeah.
None of the rest of us has even, you can't even detect it above the soil, but you've got...
Yes.
A shoot and two leaves.
I have, yes, indeed. So I don't quite know what that means, but I'm very excited about it. I think it's because I put it in a jam jar to begin with, and I think I've created a greenhouse effect around it, and it's on my bedroom windowsill, which faces south in the morning. I live in a very beautiful part of Sussex and overlook the sea. So I think it obviously really likes the space it's living in now.
It's being nurtured.
Yes, it is being very nurtured right now. So that was exciting, wasn't it, just to tell everybody that today.
Absolutely, 1 week's growth.
A bit of seed envy going on.
There is. Definitely.
There's lots of seed envy going on.
We're actually all very fortunate here to be nestled at the foot of the South Downs, which is a range of chalk hills that runs about 260 miles along the south coast of England from East Sussex to Hampshire. And we've got lovely woods and open fields and masses of public footpaths that crisscross the county, making it really easy for all of us to get up close with nature, which, you know, we're very blessed to be able to do. Because, we've all really had enough of the long, cold winter, the dark, barren time of winter here in the Northern Hemisphere, with bare trees and colourless landscapes. But now, the rebirth cycle has truly begun again. Hooray!
Yes. Hooray, hooray!
And thankfully, new life is clearly visible everywhere, with gorgeous fresh blossoms and vibrant spring flowers in gardens and hedgerows, with leafy greens, yellowy, limey greens, spring greens in evidence everywhere. Green, green, greener, the wonderful healing colour. So green is the colour of the heart chakra and is definitely the colour of the moment across the landscape and all around us. Right now, England truly is a really very, very green and pleasant land.
Oh, to be in England. Now, that's April's there.
Aha.
From the poem Home Thoughts from Abroad by Robert Browning.
That's funny.
1812 to 89.
I always thought that was Oh, to be in England, now that spring is there. But it's actually April. So we're on the point.
We certainly are.
And actually, England in the springtime is very beautiful.
So after the break, we're going to start talking about the heart and the colour green.
And the healing.
And the healing aspect.
The healing aspects of the colour green.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the vibration that colour green brings. So
which all ties into the whole project of Equilarium.
Yes, absolutely.
The biggest heart centre of all.
Yes.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Radio Namaste leads you down the yellow brick road into portals of consciousness with the blue collar goddess as your host. Interviews with humans who could be famous or just popular, and answers to everything are on the agenda. Tune into Om Times Radio and drop in on Thursdays at 3 Eastern. It's a different brand of enlightenment.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
So, here we are again. The most incredible healing colour of the world and the spectrum is green. It is the colour of nature and earth, and it speaks of new beginnings, hope and peace. It's life coming out of dormancy. It's a balance. It balances harmony and essence and possesses a soothing influence upon both mind and body. Green can be used for just about any condition in need of healing. Green rings psychological and emotional harmony and balance. And we can all do with that. It's heart energy gets broken, it gets stuck, and you step out into green and it just heals. It's just incredible.
It does.
It links with and stimulates the heart chakra. It actually been proven in scientific tests that you sit in front of the colour green, it affects your blood pressure and it normalises it as quickly as possible. And all conditions of the heart.
That's why a lot of hospitals use the colour green, you know, to soothe in their waiting areas, and the uniforms are green often.
Yeah, even the surgeons wear.
Yes.
The surgeons greens, don't green. They? Yeah. Because it's the quickest colour for the human body to heal in is green. In fact, the human eye can detect more variations in the colour green than in any other colour in the spectrum. That obviously goes back to primeval man, where we needed to detect which leaves were poisonous from others.
Mm.
Because so
to do with survival, then.
Yeah, so it is. It's a real survival colour for us, but it's also an indication, the new bright yellow-green that comes, it's a signal to get up. You know, new life is here. Wake up, get on with life.
Mm.
You know, spring green energy is bursting forth across the world in parks and gardens and fields and hills. You know, we can see that new life and healing and love is everywhere. You know, it really is. So it's time to release your pain, release your hurt, embrace the new, and use the green that's all around to do that.
And also, I think, I mean, spring is just such a most amazing time of the year anyway, isn't it? Because as the blossoms coming out, what I've noticed actually, because being a flower photographer, I've photographed many different things over the years, and I've often found in, well, coming up to May, it's actually quite an emotional time. I think a lot of emotions come up to the surface, and I think it's to do with the fact that the blossom's coming out, because not only are we seeing something visually, but it's actually releasing something which is invisible into the ether. So it's to do with their essence and their smell. You know, and a lot of flower remedies contain those essences for healing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I've really noticed that at this time of year, a lot of people do tend to get quite emotional for maybe no other reason. I think it's because of what's just, we're walking in and around us, you know, and then the blossom just starts to come and then it goes. And it's a very short season as well. You know, very beautiful.
April and May is absolutely beautiful in England. It's so lovely. And, you know, you've got the bluebells.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this week too, we've got my all-time favourite flowers, which are wild bluebells, bursting onto the scene. They are the most quintessential sign of British springtime. They're such a gift, a welcome sight for sore eyes. I mean, last week I only saw one on my morning dog walks, but today they've suddenly appeared like an incredible purple indigo, blue magical carpet, which is now covering the floor of the quiet, shady woods, hedgerows and banks. I mean, bluebells are the most amazing colour, which literally makes your heart sing. It's something to do with the combination of the bluebell violet blue and the yellowy green of the leaves that zing zing with life and the high vibration. It's easy to see why these flowers have been long linked to the fairy world. They can turn almost luminescent at dusk, magically gaining in vibrancy as the light fades. It's incredible.
Yes, I'd just like to tell you about a story. I was commissioned to do a book on fairies quite a few years ago. Yeah, I mean, running up to May, which is part of the Brighton Festival down here in May. It's also my birth month as well. And I met a fantastic woman that was actually showing in a house next to mine. And we appeared on the same page in the brochure. And when she saw the picture I'd posted, she said, I need to work with that person. I've got a book project that I want to work with you on. And it was shooting fairies. And one of the parts of the book was in a bluebell wood.
Oh,
and it was
beautiful.
The most magical shoot I think I've ever done.
So did you recreate a fairy glen?
Yeah, we did. I had to go out and find the locations with the bluebell woods and just go out there and set up and it was glorious, absolutely
magical.
Glorious. Loved it.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
There is something very, very magical about bluebells.
But Claire, your mum, Angela, who we all loved and adored, she absolutely loved the bluebells, didn't she?
She did. She completely loved the bluebells. Because they're wild. You can't cultivate the bluebells. You know, and they're sort of like, they're like a shy beauty. They nestle in the bottom. You have to go and look for them. They're hidden in the hedgerows. So there's something, which is what my mum was very like as well. She's very shy and retiring, but an absolute beauty. And so for me, they absolutely ring of my mum. So like being out there this morning, walking in amongst them, it was just fantastic. Because sadly, 4 years ago, you know, I lost my mum, and she was my absolute best friend in the world.
She was all her best friends.
Yeah.
We loved Angela.
She was a true matriarch.
She was.
Yeah.
Beautiful woman.
Beautiful woman. I mean, 19 years ago, I'd already lost my dad. I mean, Josephine, you've lost your mum and dad.
I've lost my mum and dad, and it is, you know, it's such a grief when you lose your parents, you know, it really is. And you've lost your dad, Jo.
Yeah, my dad, funny, it was my dad's birthday on Monday this week, funnily enough, and he's been gone 10 years now.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just quite extraordinary to think, you know, I've still got a living mum. I feel very blessed that both of you have lost both your parents now.
Yeah, but, yeah. But we were fortunate to have your mum around our kitchen table a few weeks ago. That was absolutely gorgeous.
And she'd never met you, never met my mum, and it was just such a beautiful to have that mummy energy around your table again.
Absolutely, I love that.
I know, I saw it.
Yeah, because I miss mummy energy.
I know, and she loved you.
It was fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, so particularly the bluebells do remind me of my mum, you're right, because, you know, as I said, 4 years ago, sadly, she passed away from pancreatic cancer. But for the last 2.5 years, prior to that, she was very poorly, but we had the idea of her getting to see the bluebells was like the carrot that got her through the final winter of her disease, final winter of the year. And she had it in her mind that she wanted to wait and see the first bluebells of the spring. And like I said, come on, Mum, you will, you'll get there, you'll see them. Mm. And in fact, it was the last day of her life that we were in the hospice, again, which is at the foothill of the Downs, so we're very fortunate. It had a woods. And she'd waited till she had... My brother had come over from Australia, Paul, and I had my other brother here. So she had her 3 children, 5 of her grandchildren, and her great-grandson. And it happened to be Mothering Sunday, her last day here. And we went out into the wood, pushed her in a wheelchair into the woods, and we saw the first bluebells. Wow. It was just like the answer to a prayer.
Absolutely.
And her face, she just lit up that there were the bluebells, which was fantastic. Sadly, the next day, as I say, she passed away. But the next week, it was her funeral. And I have to say, you and I, Josephine.
We did.
We went to see her at the funeral parlour to spend some time and say pay our respects and have our last goodbye with her. And you did her hair and makeup.
Well, she was such a beauty, Angela. She always liked to look her best, and she did like her Chanel. So, we did give her a dusting of Chanel powder to her hair. It was rather lovely.
And then our
it?
Lovely friend Vivian, she painted her toenails with a lovely Chanel red.
Yeah.
And made her look beautiful. But then the morning of the funeral, it must have been about this time last year, I stopped and picked an armful of fresh bluebells from a bank outside the church and took them into the funeral parlour and filled her casket with bluebells.
Mm. Laid them at her feet.
Laid them at her feet so that she was sent off absolutely singing, ringing in the bluebells. Because she was a real barefoot Contessa, wasn't she?
She was. She was so colourful, so bohemian, vibrant.
Yeah, and she came from such a wonderful, well-to-do family, but she was just this bohemian barefoot goddess. She's fantastic. So we sent her off in Chanel and in the bluebells. So
she would have loved.
She really would. I couldn't think of a better way to be sent off myself.
And she would be so proud of you right now with what you're wanting to create here.
Thank you. Well, she very much believed in Equilarium.
Yeah,
she did.
Very much. And she would be very, very pleased to be doing this. Because in fact, on the last day, the last thing she said to me was... she said that she was ready to go because she was tired and that she missed my father, who died 18 years before. But she said, darling, it's time for me to go so that you can evolve into the you need to become beyond me.
And she made me promise that I'd be there to help you too.
Thank
to be
you.
All that you can be.
Well, Claire. So now, you know, I owe it to her and to my children to lead by example, to grow into that. The me beyond her. Otherwise, to me, there's no purpose in her having left.
No.
If I don't step up and be the person that she could see in me and always believed in me, then, you know, it's a waste. I have to do it. So, you know, I actually encourage you all the listeners, and I mean, I know you, my lovely girls, and everybody, to seize the day and to use this wonderful time of year, the spring energy, to expand, to actually move on and evolve into the greatest you can be. It's the message for all of us. It's time to evolve. It's time to come out like the blossom, new life bursting forth from seemingly dead sticks.
And even in your grief, you know, being able to transform that grief into something amazing. It does take time, of course it does take time. But, you know, 4 years have passed since Angela.
Absolutely. I mean, this is 4 years since she passed away. But now the bluebells are here again, you know, to remind us of her passionate love of life, of nature, and the understanding of the cycles of life, death, rebirth. You know, it really is my time at 52 to step into and evolve into the greatest me, the one that she always believed in. It's your time. It's every. The time is now, you know, for all of us.
The time is now.
And the four relates to the heart in terms of the chakra system as well.
That was 4 years ago. Do you know she married the fourth of the fourth?
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so it's about all about the heart. So that's perfect timing. Otherwise, it wouldn't have come to this any sooner anyway. So
no.
It's exactly the right time for this project to be birthed now.
And we would love to hear from all the listeners, you know, what's your stories of grief and transformation? Because ultimately, you know, the overall idea with us being the real holistic housewives.
I love that.
But we would love to hear from you and hear all your stories, and we'd like to collect those and look at putting them together to inspire other people to say that there is life after death, you know, that we can do things, and together, collectively, you know, we can make a difference, you know, we can do something amazing. So that's what we are trying to create here.
Definitely.
Yeah. And you've come through that period of grief, and you wouldn't have been able to create anything until you've come through that period as well.
Absolutely. You know, so, it's such a learning curve, you know, and grief is like that. It's not a line. It's not a straight line. You can't say, oh, now it begins, now it ends. Two weeks after my mum had passed away and after the funeral, I bumped into somebody who said, are you painting? And I said, no, I'm not. And they said, why not? And I said, well, because my mum's just passed away. And they said, oh, still because of that.
But it's a strange reaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
As if there should be some fixed time on grief.
Well, you know. Tell us about that after the break.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment, a philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on OM Radio.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Okay, I'll follow. You just
Claire, in the break, I've just picked up your beautiful book, One from the Heart, and it's your channeled book. And as it's a dip-in book, you know, I've literally just opened at this page because I always love going in your book. I use it every day. It's by my bedside. And I'd love you to read to the listeners this page because I almost feel that this is a page that Angela could have said to you just before she died, you know, that a bit of wisdom going on. And to me, this piece says about transformation. So I'll let you read that.
Okay, this was actually written in Brighton in January 1993, on January the 17th. You have travelled many miles and witnessed many things. You have returned to the place you know is home. 'Tis time to put into action all that which you have learned. Look for the meanings of the things you have experienced. They are all of some significance. Although their importance may not always be apparent, they are all lessons on some level, albeit subliminal. Be open and receptive on all levels, these and distant planes. Be not scared on this earthly realm when you are safe in every other. Our children not often fearful going to school, but nonetheless graduate much wiser. Growing pains are acknowledged in the young, but should not be restricted to youth alone. You continue to grow as you live, and it continues to hurt. But from the pain of that growth comes great comfort and ultimate understanding. Apply much patience and compassion, and love will heal all hurts received, and peace and truth remain. Live your lives in the pursuit of being wise.
Because after Angela had passed, before Angela had passed, she was always saying to us, you've got to go on, it's your time now. And she always wanted the very, very best for you, Claire. And but before she died, you were painting, weren't you? That beautiful painting.
Oh, The Path of Light, yeah. Which was all, it was completely your journey, wasn't it? I remember you telling us that it took you a long time to actually complete that painting.
It was the most difficult painting that I've ever had to paint. All my paintings arrive in my head fully formed before I go to my canvas to bring them down, as it were. And I carry them sometimes for a year or 2 years in my head. And this one, it was a stark landscape and it was nighttime and it was dark. And it's, I usually paint vibrant colours and fun, loving, harmonious colours. And this was a very, very dark painting. And but it's a mountain scene with a river and that comes like a silver ribbon down through the river, winding through the hills and then out across the plains and across a field of lavender at night time. And I just didn't know how to finish this. And it comes down into a beautiful, beautiful heart, magenta heart with a golden yellow centre. And I didn't know how to finish this painting. I just couldn't get it.
You really struggled with
it. I really did, but it was to do with, you know, my mum and her journey and getting to the end of her life. It was called Path of Light, and it was about sticking to your path of light and walking your talk. And where my mum was so fantastic was she never, ever was scared of death or of dying, even all through her life, but all through her illness. So she was a magnificent teacher. Mm. Not only did she teach us how to live, all of us, my goodness, didn't she teach us how to die?
She most certainly did. She was the personification of grace.
Yeah,
she was. Just had grace.
Yeah, it's true.
But also in that painting, I remember saying to her, but look, I'm going to be up here, didn't she?
Well, what happened was just the last week before she went into the hospice, I got in the middle of the night how to finish the painting. And there's only a slice that goes across the top of the painting, just of about 2 inches, which was the night sky. And I suddenly got that it's all about the night sky, that the rest of the painting doesn't matter. And so you take yourself to this landscape and you lay on your back and you look up and it's this night sky. And it was these clear, clear stars. So I went round to her house, which my studio happened to be in my mother's house, which was fantastic. And I painted the sky and she came through and she said, oh, darling, thank you so much for painting the sky like that. Now I can sleep well tonight. And I said, really? Why? And she said, because you've done a spiral of light which goes from the top of the hill up into the moon. And so the path of light continues from the moon down across the mountain, across the landscape to the heart. And so she said, over the last few weeks, She's, I've been retracing my path of light, and I've got to the point on the mountain where it disappears. And I've got to that point in my life, but I don't know how to connect back to source. And you've shown me that you just trust and it is still connected. And that you, even though you can't see round the bend, you're not meant to, but you trust and it's still connected to source. So I said, oh, that's amazing. I'm so glad it's brought you some comfort. So I left, and then a week later she entered the hospital and she died. And then at her funeral, a girlfriend brought another very clairvoyant medium with her, who said, oh, your mum's here and she's got a special message for you. And I hadn't met this woman, I hadn't seen her for about 7 years, so she didn't know anything about me or anything I was painting. And she said, oh, your mum's got a special message. She said, but she's actually just showing me the most beautiful night sky with the stars. And she says to tell you, that's where I am.
Wonderful. What a beautiful confirmation.
Oh, it was. It was just, it was better than any message anyone could give. It's just like, yes, that's it. It's path of light. It's continuation. Mm. And it's just like, you know, the painting is the journey of source to self and self to source. Mm. So it's the returning home.
Yeah. And we're talking about grief, and we've got all Nepal.
Absolutely. Yeah. The heart in path of light is all about unconditional love, which is what you have to have. You have to let go of all fear. And, you know, because we're approaching grief and death with my mum, and much the same, we have to open our hearts with that unconditional love, because it is the most powerful thing that we have within our own command. So I urge all of you listeners all around the world to please use it generously for the greater good of all. So right now, we urge you to send your loving thoughts, compassion and prayers to the poor people of Nepal and the families and friends of all those affected by the recent earthquake in this amazing ancient kingdom high up in the Himalayas.
And, you know, whenever you talk about the Himalayas, that always reminds me, you've got an amazing story about your star lady that you met in Nepal, which is a mad story, but...
Yeah. Are you going to make me say it?
I am going to make you say it. Shoot.
If it because, is the one I think it is, yes.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, but this is one of my, completely mad stories, but totally real. Okay, this was back in the day when I was living in Italy and working as a fashionista. Uh-huh. Did I mention, Jill, that I was a fashionista?
Yeah, I think you did. I think we all know that.
I mentioned that about 10 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day when I had my professional head on, I was living in Italy with a girlfriend, and we decided to go trekking in Nepal and India. So we donned our backpacks and we'd headed off. And we were high up in the kingdom of Nepal. And Nepal is just the most amazing, amazing country I've ever been to. Beautiful people. And we were way up from Kathmandu, right up in the mountains in this ancient, ancient city. I can't remember what it was called now. But we looked out, and coming across the other side of the street, sort of 50 metres away, was the tiniest person I've ever seen in my life. I was like, we both just absolutely stopped still in our tracks and just went, what is that? And we stared, and it was the tiniest little woman. She, I mean, I'm only 5'2", but she literally came just above my knee. So she must have been 2 foot at the most. But she was in the most amazing proportion. She was a tiny little lady, an old lady. She was in a tiny little saffron yellow sari, and she had her hair in a plait, and she had a little bindi in her forehead of her blessing. And we just stood in
mesmerized.
She was like a fairy. We talk about a real life fairy. And she walked along the street, and lo and behold, she crossed the road and she made a beeline straight for me. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's amazing. I wanted to see her up close and personal, but not quite like this. So she crossed the street and she came to me and she stood in front of me and she put her hands together in the prayer position. She bowed her head and she said, Namaste, Didi, which means greeting, sister. It really means I see you, Namaste, sister. So I bent down and just said, oh, Namaste, Didi. I was so pleased that she wanted to speak to me.
Mm.
And she smiled, this wry smile, and she said to me, do you know where you come from? And I said with great confidence, yes, I come from London.
Right? And
I'm a fashion designer. And she chuckled and she shook her head and waved her finger, wagged her finger, and she just said, no. Do you know which star you come from? And I was just like, oh my God. I mean, that's calling pot calling kettle black. But at least I look like the people around here.
You don't even look like you come from this planet. And yet you cross the road and tell me which star do I come from?
So had I not been with my friend Rebecca, who was very much of this world and very much a fashionista, I could quite happily have thought I made up the whole experience. But no, she can, you know, bear testament to the fact that it really happened. Yeah, which star do you come from?
But so
did she tell you which
no,
star you came
no,
from?
No, she just, I said, no. And she just smiled. She bowed her head. She said, namaste. And she walked away with this wry smile like she knew something. And I was just, I've been baffled ever since.
But that happens to you so often, doesn't it?
Shh, don't.
You can't hide now, Claire. No. You know what this is all about.
No, that's
but again,
true.
It's lovely, you know. So we've had all the heartbreak in Nepal, and here we're telling a lovely story about Nepal.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've got to do in life. You've got to be able to
transcend,
yes,
and transmute
absolutely.
All the lower level energies, which are the pain, the grief, the sadness, because, you know, absolutely, there's devastation out there. But instead of just tuning into the pain and the grief of what's happening, so you say, well, send some positive, loving, happy vibes to try and, you know, send soothing, comfort, love, pure love.
Love is everything.
It is. But and joy, you know, we can send some joy. They need some joy out there. Mm. So I'm sure, you know, they'll benefit from all the loving vibes that we can send.
Absolutely.
And on our page, Equilarium FM page on Facebook, I mean, obviously we're going to cover events that happen each week, and just so happens to have happened in between last Wednesday and now. So we're going to put something on the Facebook page, aren't we, to help. So if you're able to donate any money, because obviously the whole world wants us to get involved and just to do what we can, we'll have a link on our page, won't we?
Are we doing a Just Giving page or something?
There's a link to, there's a Dalai Lama calling for prayer, but there's also a world charity where you can donate by just texting. You know, you text a number on your phone or SMS it here in America, and you give an instant donation, which is what they need right now. They need our love, our thoughts, our prayers, and they need our money. They really need whatever
practical
we can give.
Support.
They need practical support.
Yeah.
Because it is the most magical kingdom, and you know, they need our love right now. So from our heart center this week, we're definitely beaming it.
We are sending lots of love to
Nepal. Yeah, we certainly are. So we're sending our prayers to Nepal.
And after the break, we'll tell you all about the number 12, which is featured in the All Times article this week.
It is.
Right.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Hi, my name is Monica and I'm the host of Co-Creating Now. Give yourself an opportunity to connect with your all-knowing higher self and manifest joy, love and peace together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance. To inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on OM Times Radio.
So, welcome back.
And we're going to start discussing the number 12, Claire, because you are very much a 12, aren't you?
Well, apparently so. But isn't it funny that this week in the Om Times magazine, there's an incredible article, Why 12? The Significance of the Number 12 by William Besenson, saying, have you ever noticed how dominant the number 12 is? Well, I have, because in my life, my birthday is 12 of the 12th, which, and I'm really bad with left and right and all sorts of things. Mildly dyslexic, but I always thought that was just quite handy. So when I went to the States and they put their day, month, no, they put their month, day.
Absolutely.
I thought, at least I don't have to worry, I can just do 12, 12, 12, 12. 12, 12. It's quite simple. But no, you're right. Actually, throughout my life, a lot's happened around the number 12. And for those of you that don't know, I actually channel, and I started channeling when I visited a Native American Indian reservation called Taos, just spontaneously started channeling. And back in 1992, I received a piece about being a 12. But we'll tell you a bit more about what he says in his article. William Benson says about 12.
Have you ever noticed how dominant the number 12 is? Yes. Well, there are 12 months in a year, 12 signs of the zodiac, 12 inches per foot, 12 people on a jury, 12 grades in most school systems, 12 items in a dozen, 12 disciples, 12 apostles, 12 days of Christmas, 12 notes on an octave, and so on. And there are many other instances of the 12.
Oh, yeah, that are coming in common in Western civilization, it's true.
I've got an interesting book, actually. I just wanted to read something out of this to do with the 12, along the lines of what I've just read out. There's also the 12 angels of Atlantis, the 12 dimensions of consciousness, the 12 laws of the universe, the 12 planets of the solar system, the 12 astrological signs, the 12 solar lunar months, the 12 tectonic plates of planet Earth, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 cranial nerves, the 12 chakras, the 12 acupuncture meridians, and the 12 apostles of Jesus.
Wow.
So, you being a 12-12, Claire, what's that all about?
What is that all about? And how can people notice that? I don't know what it is.
But they certainly do. When they meet you, they say, you're a 12.
I know. It's most peculiar. In fact, back in 1992, I had a piece of writing from Twitchy, which is one of the only pieces. I call my guide Twitchy because my right arm jumps and becomes twitchy when I feel the need to write. So I call my guide Twitchy. Anyway, I had a piece of guidance, which is the only piece I didn't publish into my book because I thought it would be relevant to everybody. But it said, 12 is an important number, and you need look no further for the link between you and your kindred spirits. You are numbered well, and for a reason. Wherefore art thou numbered 12 of the 12th? Look for this answer, and find it in yourself. What you are and what you have been are all to play a part in what you will be.
Oh, yeah. But you had your 50th birthday on the 12th.
Well, yeah, that was very interesting. You're right, because not only then, but my 12s all lined up. So everyone else was thinking the end of the world was coming in 2012. But for me, it was when all those 12s line up, 12, 12, 12, was actually my 50th birthday. And that was something we were all very much looking forward to getting to. But it was so strange, actually waking up on the morning, because it was just like, hooray, 12, 12, 12 is here. And it's, you know, far and few between that's ever going to happen. But, you know, I had tears in my eyes before I even opened them because I'd got there without my mum and without my dad, which is so strange to be 50 and yet to feel like such an orphan. I mean, you know that because you haven't got yours. It's really weird, isn't it?
It's everything that you've lost, because your mum was a beautiful artist, and you lost when your mum passed. Your studio went, didn't it? You know.
Yeah, I did. You're right. My whole world of being an artist disappeared.
So it's like your identity too. Suddenly, where do you operate out of? I know when my dad died, he was a concert pianist. Talk about raising vibrations. He was from the Royal Academy, an LREM from the Royal Academy of Music, and not only did we lose him, but we lost his incredible music. And you know, talk about grief, it's a huge loss, loss, you know. But and you lost your dad.
Yes, I lost my dad, and I was very proud of what he was able to create, because he created the first agency for draftsmen, actually, in this country. He became very successful in a design engineering company. And
so he had that amazing engineering brain.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm wanting to make him proud in what I'm doing, what we're all doing, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, so.
But so 12-12-12, you know, was when I woke up, it was just like, right, because it's my 50th birthday and 5 is the number of life, you know, people are panicking, the end of the world is coming. So it's like, it is so not coming. It is the start of something.
Absolutely.
For me, 12-12-12 was the stepping into Crone.
Yes.
So here we are in Crone, in the Crone zone. For those of you that don't know, there's the three stages of female evolution. We have maiden, mother, and Crone. And the final mature phase of life is called Crone, which is where you step into your full feminine wisdom and your full intuitive power. And this is what the church was so threatened by. So they told everybody that a crone was a terrible old witch, that it was a horrible thing to want to become, which has been devastational ever since, because so many people, as we know, even powerful women we know, don't like to be called a crone, and they hate the idea. When we said we were going to have the crone zone, in fact, we were toying with the idea of calling this Game of Crones.
I love that.
This is the Game of Crones.
This is Game of Crones. Yeah. It's about playing with your powerful female energy and bringing it back onto the map and empowering all other women out there. Everyone, step into your full power as a crone.
Step into your wisdom. You know.
Step into your wisdom.
You don't get that at 21.
You don't. So, you know, and we've all been maidens, mothers, and now we're in this later stage of crones. So for me, 12-12-12 was this very empowering, stepping up, waking up into the next phase, which is where Equilarium now, I'm ready, because my children are now 18 and 20, so they no longer need me. They're not tied to my apron strings. Of course, I'm still mother, but they don't need me in that same way. So it's time that I can now birth something of a greater kind. So that's what we're looking to birth as, you know, crones of the world. We want a united birthing of Equilarium.
Absolutely, and that's why we're going to have the 12 aspects of
absolutely.
Equilarium. You know, so
in your latest writing, would you like to share that with us? And there's probably some amazing wisdom in that.
Yeah, by all means. I got this on the 26th of April. So this is, if you'd like to sit and close your eyes and just give some quiet space to contemplate. I apologise right now for the rain on the outside of my window. We have April showers, which can't believe. Anyway, shrine. Shine within the shrine of your body. Ignite the fire within your belly to truly get up and do what you have come to do. Use the constant flame in your heart to start the fire for you to aspire to become the very greatest you can be. To actually be the greatest you can become, you will have to first light the touch paper to launch your own rocket of self-belief. Then it will be done. You know you can then fly, fly, fly up into the darkest part of the sky and illuminate the darkness with a magnificent display of colour and light, a veritable display of beauty and awe, creating a lasting effect upon the world that is so much more than just entertainment. Trust that it is of the utmost importance to your fellow man that you do become the greatest you can. For by each being the greatest you can be, you will be lighting the way for all humanity. Every tiny little drop of light helps dispel the darkness of the night. So encourage all others to do the same, regardless of their colour, creed, or name. For all in all, we are the same. And by supporting each other to turn up our flames, we will transform the world with light. Therefore, make the choices within your heart to release all fear of judgment and doubt. Clear out your limiting belief and dare to be truly inspired and inspirational. Set the world alight by shining as brightly as bright can be.
That's so beautiful, Claire. And what a message to everyone, shine as bright as you can be. And, you know, that's what we're encouraging here today. We want everyone to join with us in this amazing project, and let's be that collective that brings this healing space down to earth.
Absolutely. Because it's about being real people, and we all suffer real pain, grief, loss. Look, today we've just discussed that we've lost 5 out of 6 parents between the three of us.
That's true.
And
disasters in Nepal.
Disasters in Nepal. There's a lot of heavy, dark stuff that you can focus on. And it's not that there isn't real stuff, but we choose to take it lightly. It's how we choose to react to it. So, as you say, we can hopefully inspire everybody out there to focus on the goodness of life, focus on the bluebells, focus on the new life, the rebirth.
Focus on love.
Focus on love and healing of the heart energy, not just the pain that you can hold within your heart, but the love.
Well, love will transform everything.
Yeah. I think maybe next week we could just really go into the whole what vibration is all about and how to actually lift out of those states and just really work with that.
Yep.
To bring in, you know, our dreams into reality.
Yeah, so for today, we'd just like to say thank you very much for joining us around the kitchen table. We've had fascinating insights.
Well, the energy was just absolutely buzzing, wasn't it?
Yeah. And we'll really be putting that on our Facebook page. You can come and look at it with the photographs. We'll have you can see Claire's beautiful book, One from the Heart. And she has lovely signed copies available for her book. And also, you know, we'll be encouraging you to visit Claire's website at Arts of Alchemy. And all the information will be put there.
So thank you very much for joining us this week. And keep happy, open hearts, and may love be with you all.
Yeah. Raising vibrations.
Absolutely.
Across the nations.
Across those nations.
Across the nations.
Namaste. Yeah. Namaste,
Didi.
Namaste, Didi.
Namaste, Didi.